We're going to be studying from Psalm 15 this morning. I want to encourage you to have your Bible open to that text. We'll look at a few verses here or there, but we'll be working our way down through Psalm 15. Let's start by reading the text of the psalm. Just five verses long, a very short psalm, but there's a lot packed into this psalm. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth with his heart. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend, and whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change. He who does not put out his money at usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved. We've talked in the past about the different categories of psalms, and there are different categories, and there's not a fixed list of which belongs in which, but one of the categories is called worship psalms. And this definitely would fit into the worship psalms. Maybe not a psalm that was sung in the worship, but most definitely would be a psalm that would be sung as one was going to worship. You know, in the world in which we live, we have very little choice about who we associate with in general in the world. Now, you and I go to a store to go shopping. That store is open to everyone. And who knows who you're going to encounter there, what kind of person they're going to be, what kind of language you're going to hear from them, what you're going to see them doing, what they may even do to you. Don't you hate it when you go to a restaurant and you're seated and you're enjoying your meal and someone is seated at a table within earshot and they're using foul language? Kind of ruins the whole experience, doesn't it? We don't have a lot of control over who we are with in the world, but we definitely have control over who we invite into our home. We can control that. Who may abide in your tabernacle is the way this psalm begins. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? The word abide is the word that would be used as a temporary abiding. It'd be one like a pilgrim is coming someplace to be there, but they're not there permanently. And of course, tabernacle is a tent. So that's not a permanent structure. It's something that is taken down. But then the next stanza is a part of that Hebrew poetry where you have the rephrasing and the repetition of an idea. But here, dwelling is more permanent, and of course, a hill doesn't move. And so you go from who's going to visit in your tent, who's going to live on your holy hill. But here's the idea, Lord, who's allowed in? There are places in this world that I would like to go and I would like to see. I remember a number of years ago when we lived in Kentucky, my dad and I went to Fort Knox. They wouldn't let us in. I would have loved to have gone in and to see the gold. No, that wasn't for me. I would love to see the White House, and I don't mean go and to see, there it is behind that fence. I'd love to go through that building, every room. I'll never get to do that. I understand that. There are some places that I just am not going to be able to go. God showers His blessings on all of mankind. And we're going to look at that in a little more detail in our 11 o'clock hour. God blesses everyone, but not everyone is allowed to enter into God's house. Not everyone is allowed to enter into God's presence. God, if you will, has a guest list. And I'm not talking about the Book of Life in which specific names are written down. But I'm talking about the fact that there's a list of characteristics that God is looking for. And if we don't meet those characteristics, we have no reason to expect to be allowed into His house. What kind of people will find themselves on God's guest list? Who has the right to enter into the house of God and to abide there? Psalm 15 answers that question. So as I said, this may very well have been a psalm that would have been sung by worshipers as they were going to the tabernacle, or it's written by David after that, going to the temple to worship. A time for self-inspection, a time to make correction before one entered into God's presence. What we have in this psalm, very short psalm, but there are 11 characteristics. So let's get ready. We're going to go through and look at these 11. Some of them stated in the positive, some of them stated in the negative, but together they form a picture of who it is that God lets in His house. Who's on God's guest list? Number one, he who walks uprightly. English Standard Version says blamelessly. New American Standard Version says with integrity. Translated from a Hebrew word that means complete, ethically sound, without blemish, blameless, or sincere. It would describe a person whose habitual course of life is the aim to live blamelessly before God. This same word was used to describe Job three times in the first two chapters of the book of Job. It was also used in the New Testament to describe, and I don't mean the Hebrew word, but the same corresponding Greek word was used in Luke chapter 1 and at verses 5 and 6 to describe the parents of John the Baptist. So here's someone who is sincerely seeking to do God's will. That's who God wants in His house. But next is someone who works righteousness. The English Standard Version, he does what is right. His actions produce righteous works. He does what is just, what is fair, and what is good. Now, one difference I see between these first two characteristics is the first one seems to be directed toward God. Here is a person that regarding God, they serve God faithfully. They walk blamelessly before God. And the second characteristic is they treat their fellow man right. God is very much interested in the way you and I treat other people. And if we don't treat people in the right way, God doesn't want us in His house. So are we treating God? Are we treating God the right way? Are we treating others the right way? Are we working righteousness? Verse 2 continues that he speaks the truth in his heart. God hates lies. In Proverbs chapter 6, there's the section there. There's six things God hates. Seven are an abomination unto him. Two of those seven things are speaking lies or false testimony. So God hates lies. In Revelation chapter 22, and verse 15, I said we'd look at some other passages. Revelation chapter 22, we have chapters 21, 22, here's heaven. Here's how great heaven is, and here are the people who are in heaven. But also in the description are those who are not allowed in heaven. The gatekeeper on the outside is telling these people, no, you're not on the guest list. You're not invited in. Now look at Revelation 22 and at verse 15. But outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie. So those who speak the truth are the ones who are allowed in. Those who lie are not allowed in. Now this is the first of several references in this short psalm to our words. You think it matters to God, the words that we speak? Yes, it does. It has a lot to do with who is allowed in and who is not. And then there is the phrase at the end of this characteristic, in his heart. We know God sees the heart. God knows what's going on in our heart. He knows our words while they're still in the heart. And so what God is looking for, he's looking not for someone who's just going through the motions. He's looking for someone who's sincerely serving him and doing what is right from the heart. Now, as we continue on in verse 3, we look at some negative characteristics. For one, this person does not backbite with his tongue. English Standard Version, New American Standard Version say does not slander with his tongue. Backbiting or slander would be speech that destroys the character and reputation of another person. God will not allow in his house those who use their words to tear people down. He will not allow such dangerous people into his dwelling, into his abode. In the 101st Psalm, Psalm 101 and verse 5, whoever secretly slanders his neighbor, him I will destroy. The person that does this is not just sinning. They are a dangerous person. God's not going to allow a dangerous person into his house. You wouldn't do that. You wouldn't allow a dangerous person into your house, have a bunch of people over and purposely invite someone who's going to cause harm to other people. No, the person who backbites and slanders, they're not allowed in. Or the person who does evil to his neighbor. Evil is a generic term, and it would have reference to sin, but it would also have reference to harm. Any kind of harm that is done, not just with the mouth, with the tongue, but physical violence that would be done to someone else, no, that is not allowed. God condemns any effort to deliberately harm other people. And I don't know if it's involved in the Hebrew word, included in the word or not, but I would even bring up the prospect of harming others or doing evil to others, causing evil to befall upon others because of our neglect. Because we neglect to do what is right, evil is done to others. Should that even be taken into consideration? Perhaps so. The person who would do evil to his neighbor is not allowed in. The Lord taught us what to do with our neighbor. We're to love our neighbor. We're not to do evil to our neighbor, and we're not to allow evil to be done to our neighbor. That's who God will allow in. Does not do evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against a friend. The word reproach is from a Hebrew word that means to cast blame or scorn on someone, to bring them disgrace or dishonor. The Hebrew word means, or it has the meaning, to strip or to make bare or to deprive one of his garments. Think about it. That's what you're doing when you're reproaching someone. You are stripping them of their character. You're stripping them of their honor, their reputation, and their dignity. And a person who would do that, who would set back, stand back, and hurl that abuse at anyone is bad enough. But notice, it's done to a friend. Well, that's not a friend at all. Somebody who would talk about them behind their back, somebody who would take up a reproach against them. You know, in our culture, an entire industry has come up and been in existence for some time now around the enjoyment of doing this to people. In our country, we love to build people up, and then we love to tear them down. Well, as Christians, as God's people, we need to be building people up in a righteous way, in a holy way, but we don't need to be taking part in tearing people down. That is destroying their character and destroying their reputation and their dignity before others. No, the person who would do this to anyone, including a friend, is not allowed into God's house. Verse 4, in whose eyes a vile person is despised. The New American Standard Version says a reprobate is despised. Who is this vile person? Who is this reprobate? This is somebody who is, defining the Hebrew word, someone who is depraved, someone who is corrupt, someone who is unprincipled. This would be a person who rejects and disobeys God's will. We've seen in the first few of these characteristics that we need to do what is right, and by that we need to stay away from doing what is wrong. But God is looking for more than you and I just simply abstaining from doing what is wrong. In this characteristic, we see that God is looking for you and I to have the right attitude towards those who are doing what is wrong. In the poetry section of the Old Testament, that idea of hating people is found. And we encountered that in, I think it was Psalm 139, and we encounter it here as well in other places in the poetic section of the Old Testament. And that's something that we have to grapple with as we're studying God's Word and learning who God would have us to be. We know that we are to love everyone, and we know that we are to seek for those things that are good in everyone, but at the same time, a person who is a danger to others because of their depravity and because they're set on doing evil, God would have us to have the right attitude towards them, to share His same attitude. Vile people are celebrated in this world. We must be careful that we despise and reject and show contempt, going by the King James Version wording of this phrase, that we show contempt to those who are to be despised and rejected. Let's make sure that we're seeing things the way God is seeing things and treating people accordingly. Verse 4 continues that we honor those who fear the Lord, that we show honor to those who deserve to be honored. And one way we honor the Lord is by honoring those who fear the Lord. We are to reserve our praise, our adoration, and our encouragement for those who reverence the Lord and who tremble at His word. In the 119th Psalm, Psalm 119 and verse 63 says, I am a companion of all who fear you and of those who keep your precepts. Whoever it is that fears the Lord, whoever it is that's keeping His word, I'm that person's companion. I might not even know them. They may live in another state, another part of the world, but if they're God's people and they're fearing God and they're keeping His commandments, I'm their friend. I'm their companion. Am I honoring those who really deserve to be honored? Am I careful to do that? I like sports. I enjoy sports, and it's about this time of the year that I see, different gift ideas, and it'd be nice to wear some jerseys. It'd be nice to wear a jersey from a team that I like, maybe baseball team or a football team. But it's hard to get a jersey that doesn't have a player's name on it. And my reluctance in doing that is as soon as I did that, that player would get in trouble. He'd do something ungodly and sinful. And here, who am I honoring? Who am I honoring when I do that? Now, that's just me. That's my thinking. I'm not imposing that on anyone else. But I would use this passage to bring to our attention. Are we honoring those that God would have us to honor? And are we treating with despise and rejection those that God would have us to despise and to reject? Are we keeping our word? That's that next phrase. He swears to his own hurt and does not change. That means if you make a vow, if you make a promise that you're going to do something and then later find out that was a terrible decision, that's going to cost me some money if I stay in that, so I'm just going to cut my losses and I'm going to get out of that. God says, no. If you're going to dwell in my house, you're going to be people of your word. You're going to keep your word even if it costs you, even if it hurts, even if it requires a sacrifice. You're going to keep your word. And you're not going to try to profit from someone else's misfortune. That is, does not put out his money at usury, verse 5 says. English Standard Version, New American Standard Version say at interest. Now, this passage doesn't forbid you and I putting our money in the bank and drawing interest. What it forbids is somebody who is down on their luck coming to us for help, and we say, yeah, we'll give you the money to do that, but you've got to pay it back, and you've got to pay it back in interest. that's taking advantage of someone that desperately needs help, someone that can least afford to do that. God condemned his people doing that to one another under the law of Moses. Nehemiah had to deal with that. We recently studied the book of Nehemiah. Here's the point. God is not going to allow in his house those who profit from the misfortune of other people and those who would pervert justice. Those who would pervert justice, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. Verse 5 says, the Old Testament is full of warnings and condemnation against this particular sin, against justice and against those who are innocent. Here's the blessing that is given to those who have these characteristics. He who does these things shall never be moved. Doesn't mean we'll never have problems, but what it means is we will have stability in this life. And in the life to come, we're on the guest list. The wording is a very Old Testament way of conveying the idea of God's favor and God's protection. But it's definitely one of the blessings that we have in serving God faithfully, and thus one of the reasons that we worship God. Very short psalm, but as you can see, it is packed, full of things that you and I can be working on for the rest of our lives. Who's on God's guest list? Well, we're not given names, but we're given their character. Now, while on this side of the cross, our salvation is found in the blood of Jesus Christ, we do understand that the gospel calls upon us to live a certain way. So this psalm applies to us today as well. God is looking for us to imitate his son, looking for us to make the changes in our life that are necessary, looking for us to be living right. Who can be God's guest? The one whose character is true, the one whose words are restrained, the one whose allegiance to God is clear, and the one whose dealings with others are honorable. Do you want to dwell in the house of God? Have you found yourself in this psalm? I hope we all have. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are thankful that you open the door and you give us the incredible privilege of being able to have fellowship with you and to abide in your dwelling place. We pray that we would never take this incredible blessing for granted. Help us to be honest with ourselves as we examine our hearts and lives in light of your word, that we would have the courage to make the corrections that are necessary, that we will, on that last day, hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Lord." In Jesus' name we pray, amen.